Again, I want to thank you as a congregation for the opportunity to work with other churches in leadership training. And one of the pastors that was at retreat, his team won't actually be with us this morning. They're doing a couple things this morning, and they actually have to head back to be a part of the integral schedule of their Sunday night church stuff they're doing. But he was really humble with us as a group, and I was thinking about how he did that before us in a couple different ways this weekend, and just picturing that song, you know, just saying, I mean, you could just tell as you listen to this man interact with him that his life is God's. The uncomfortable parts of it, and man, there are some uncomfortable parts of it for him right now. I mean, deep and hard things. And the great celebration stuff, and he celebrated some really cool stuff that's going on in his life. And I mean, both pieces right there, leaning on him. And he was just, God, whatever you want. In a similar way, you know, I'd shared, I think it was last week, about Jeremy in a nook, pastor and wife from Verona. And, you know, young pastor, little child, unexpected pain, going in the hospital, a nook did, and they found a tumor, you know, intestines separated. I mean, just kind of ugly. And the doctors are like, man, that is cancer. It's terrible. And they got the test back this week, and it is not cancer. Yeah, and that's awesome. I mean, the doctor said, I've taken out how many tumors, that all of them that look like that are bad, you know. And so I can't explain this. And she goes, you don't have to. It's okay, you know. And her prayer, the thing that's astounding to me, and it is astounding that she doesn't have cancer. But what's more precious is what she was doing in the process that's in that song. You know, and she's using words to do that for us. They, as Tony said, words come from the heart, the good and the bad ones. They come from there. And she was typing that stuff out when she thought probably life at its worst, and she was okay with that. Not, you're not happy about that. You're like, woohoo, I got cancer, you know, but you're like, okay, God, next step, tell me what to do, and I will praise your name. And let me tell you, her email said that with far better language than anything I've conveyed so far today. And so to hear that, to hear the news is like extra celebration. But I'm thinking about her and Jeremy when I'm singing that song. I'm like, okay, that was a picture I was watching the last couple weeks of people saying, my life, your will, your way, always, right? It will be my joy. I hope that kind of stuff. And we have rich examples of that in this room. From across history and people that have, we've watched one another, right, in the body. And that's one of the beautiful parts of the body. Watch that, know that, and speak that stuff. I'm actually preaching a message today to you because I think in this area that you are borderline Olympic caliber church. Okay? So you have to understand this. You know, sometimes pastors preach stuff because they're like, oh, man. This place is wrecked, and I need to help it, right? I need to put stuff. But there are other times we preach stuff because we're like on the verge of Olympic caliber. Honestly, as I travel to other churches, I do not see what I'm going to preach practiced like I see it here. I watch you do this stuff with diligence. And it encourages me. It spurs me on to be the same way. But I don't want us to just assume that happens. I want us to realize, no, there has to be intentional, diligent, ongoing effort to keep this where it belongs. And that has to do with how we use our tongue. How do we use our words? We have to be constant guard on this. And we've heard some lips and word things in the worship this morning. They did a good job capturing some of that. And so today, I decided that we would use the idea of a water filter. I was sitting at my desk. I don't have any idea how my brain works anymore. I used to, but I just thought we need to build a word filter. You know, we need to have this thing that happens past the ear gate and filters what we hear, and past the eye gate filters what we take in. And so before the lips move, this stuff is cleaned up. You know what I'm saying? I just want that. Somebody just put a perfect biofilm in there, right? Capture all the yuck, let nice stuff come out the mouth, right? And you're like, the problem is, I think it goes in ears, eyes, goes down through the heart and comes out, right? So somewhere in this process, however it works in us, okay, we need a filter. And God's word is obviously the filter as the Spirit of God used it. It's not, like I said earlier, it's not rocket science kind of stuff. That is how it works. But I thought, let me break down a couple of ideas in it so you can build your filter. Because you might have the first part of your filter pretty intact and it's going well, but there's some pieces missing. And so, you know, you don't get Giardia, but you're regularly not feeling well, you know? It reminds me of the young man that worked on the farm with us. And he was just, I mean, he was like prototypical what you'd think farm worker. And of course, that's who I am, so I guess I got along with him, you know. But he happened to not have studied a lot of things probably. And he didn't always do his job very well. My boss was a tough boss. My boss is like so mad at him one day because all the calf pen waters were just filthy. You know, because calves, they just step in them and then they drink out of them. It's disgusting, you know. And you could do the math of all that. And so my boss, just mad at him one day, says, "I want these so clean that you could drink out of them." And he walks off. And that guy took that literal, like, okay. So he cleaned these things, and he'd fill them, and as a test, he'd drink out of them every day. He was sick, like, every other week. I don't know how that happened. You know, he needed some serious filtering. It's a wonder he didn't die from it, frankly. Okay. So I determined that this morning I was going to drink 10 Mile Creek water. I happened to be down by the 10 Mile Creek this week, so I brought some water like that, and I thought, just as an illustration of how we really need to protect our words. So let me start in this message, or when we think about the parts of filter, we start with this. First of all, you need to determine if the water is contaminated. You know, this jar of water right here, and don't anybody switch them on me and mess me up today, okay? So this water right here, you can tell if you look closely, it looks even significantly cleaner, doesn't it? And do we need to filter, I mean, at this spot in my nice little mason jar here, do we need to filter all water? I was thinking about this, and this water is Wisconsin Rapids city water. I'm comfortable with that. Of course, if Zach poured some of the 10 Mile in this, I'm going to be kind of upset at him. I did not keep a close eye on it. But if we if we know, why are you laughing over? No. If we know where this came from, the process it's been through, the heart behind it, if you will, it doesn't really need filter, does it? It's already been filtered by someone else. And I think a lot of the communication that happens to us, see, our communication comes out of our heart and then out our mouth, and it comes from stuff we've taken in. And if the people we're around are not speaking contaminated things, we don't have to do all kinds of things to protect ourselves. I mean, that's why, like a weekend with men, I'm around them, and it did not produce bad things coming out my mouth. It produces good things. And so I look at this, and so in the message, I said, determine if the water is contaminated. And so it'd be kind of like doing a little test. Did this come straight out of the tap? Yes. Was the jar clean? Yes. Does Wisconsin Rapids have safe water? Yes, compared to most any other place in the world, fairly safe, right? So is it reasonable to drink this water? Yeah, it is. And so it's not like a vicious kind of test. And spiritually, there's a lot of communication and a lot of stuff that comes in and out of us that's like that. But we don't want to get, you know, uncautious with that. We do need to really think about it. Because when you go overseas and you're like, okay, they said don't drink the water, but then you brush your teeth with it, let me tell you what happens. You get very sick. Because it may come out of a tap, but it is not safe. We have to know. So when I think of this first point, I'm actually thinking of the positive things. Like when you look at the speech and the interaction coming out of our mouth and out of others, is it worship? Go with me. I'm going to be in two passages, kind of keep your fingers in them. I'm going to be in Philippians 4 and Ephesians 4. I wanted to simplify this, use verses we know, and just kind of put this filter in our head. And this is determining whether we really need to use a filter. And if the language that's around us is like this, we don't need to. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When I'm around people that rejoice in the Lord, I don't walk out of there going, those people are just a pain in the rah, rah. You know, I don't do that. Because when they start rejoicing, Lord, now sometimes I'm convicted because I'm like, man, that is missing right now. But because they're even speaking that, what happens? I start to go, praise God for people that speak right and get me on task. And they're worshiping God. When you're around people who genuinely worship God like this, they rejoice in the Lord always. In verse 6, it says it this way. He says, don't be anxious, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, will rule your hearts. He says, boy, if you're around people, or you're a people that is thankful, that is, you know, having gratitude to God, that prays and asks for God's help. When I'm around people that ask for his help and they're thankful and they have a dependence and they're rejoicing, let me tell you, my mouth says right things, doesn't it? And my heart is cleansed and protected. I like to start messages with positive things like this because honestly, most of our life, if we just live right there, it cleans up and protects all kinds of things. I watch you do this as a church. I watch you be this way. And new people come in who don't know Jesus yet or who've just met him. And their speech, what they say about others and things sometimes is wrong because they haven't been around this, you know. And they start to be around you in ABF. And all of a sudden I hear God's name not taken in vain anymore. It goes away. And then I hear crass language get eliminated from their life. And then I hear no more gossip. I hear instead of complaining, I start hearing thanksgiving and gratitude and prayer and dependence. Don't undersell the importance of just being this in ABF, in the hallway, in the parking lot with each other. And guard it in your ministry teams that that happens. I love the next statement that determine if it's contaminated. Look, see, is the speech reasonable? It's a kind of a weird word, isn't it? Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Pastor Jack has a notebook of all my unreasonable statements. You can ask him about it sometime. I'm fully capable of saying all kinds of things in staff meeting. You know, and most of them, when they make the notebook, are not reasonable. And it's kind of been a good check because he writes them down and I'm like, if he's writing that down, I probably shouldn't say that again. And he doesn't do it like out of meanness. He laughs at him because he's like, that's unreasonable. You know, that's just loony. You know, and he writes them down. And it's just kind of become a thing between us over all these years. But it actually is true. I mean, if someone is constantly unreasonable, you know, with others, with themselves, the speech is all off, isn't it? This gospel treason book forces reasonableness. Because if you get rigid, you're going to be guilty as all get out, aren't you? I mean, it just turns around right on you. And so by looking at the truth and working on that in our heart, we're like, wait a minute, I need to be reasonable here. I need to understand, boy, I am frail. Yeah, that's reasonable. That's true, right? I mean, it fits with reality. Well, our words, now let's just keep being reasonable, right? And peaceful, it says in the Philippians passage, that we'd be people of peace. He says, if you practice these things, you think the right way. He says, the peace of God will be with you. Be reasonable and reconcilers, right? Reasonable and peaceful. Another right thing is just the gospel focus. If you look at Ephesians 4, in our speech, there should be gospel focus. In Ephesians 4, the first few verses just say, I therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. We work on this verse a lot in leadership training. So we've been called. You've been called. God grabbed a hold of you and said, you're on my team. And if you're on a team, you have a purpose, something God wants you to do, and that is his gospel purpose, to live out the gospel, make the gospel known by how we look and by what we say as a witness to the world. This is our mission. It doesn't matter what else he hooks onto our life. It's always a part of us. He says, you've been called to that. He says, walk worthy of that calling. Don't like half walk in it. He says, make this your life wherever God has put you. So he says, walk worthy of this calling. And he says, and this is what that worthy walk looks like. With all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He says, there's just one Lord. He rules. He's laid down his life for us, and he has called you to his purpose by his gospel. So live that out with great humility. when you're around people that are doing that, it is just like a constant, safe place, isn't it? And it ends up producing good words and actions in our life. Lastly, in Ephesians 4, and there's more we could say, but you need to be around people who will correct you. That's not usually something we sign up for, like, Lord, just give me a friend who tells me I'm wrong. You know, that's most of us don't, that's not the top of our list, but I'm telling you what, I've learned that my best friends are the ones that tell me I'm wrong. And they protect me in it. In Ephesians 4, it says we need to speak, verse 15, we need to speak the truth in love. We need to be people who correct what's wrong in one another because we care about the other person. Not because we want them different so it's easier for us, not selfishness, but we correct, we speak truth, we guide one another. And that is a safe place. All it takes at a church is a church to become scared of correcting one another and you do a nosedive on how you live. We have got to have courage. And where does the courage come from? You have been called to this. Ephesians 4 was not written to pastors. They're included, but it's not to them. It is to the body to speak the truth in love. It is the body that has been called to this. So keep doing that. I'll tell you what, it was easy for me to look at those things and just think of examples from the last week even from you. Some of them one-on-one examples, some of them at a distance. And you know, when we see that and we know where it comes from and we watch people speak the word, it's safe water. We can just drink it. It's right there. However, there is a thing called dirty water. And dirty water, no matter how long this sits here, stays dirty. It's wrong, isn't it? We look at the passage, and this water, let me tell you, it must be filtered. And this is the part that's hard to say, well, I don't do that. No, but people do it around you, don't they? And that dirty water is coming in you. In your eye gate, as you see words, in your ear, right? And you have to do something. You say, I'm just going to walk around going, Jesus loves me. That doesn't work at the mill. You know what I mean? Like you have to live among people that this is what naturally comes out of them. And if you don't do anything with that, it stays dirty, foul, and corrupting. It does. You have to do something. You can't just go, well, when I go to church, I'll just be with those good people. Let me tell you, you will be messed up. Because most of our life is lived in and around the yucky water, isn't it? That's just the way it is. And it's not that, and we don't just hate anybody over that. It's just fact. And sometimes it's us. Sometimes it's my mouth that is bringing that in my home, right? No one said amen to that, thank you. You're protecting me, but sometimes we're the ones that give the snippy phrase. And we may have cleaned it up and Christianized it so it doesn't have any swear words, but it's still sinful. And that dirty water comes out of us. What's dirty water? We got to know what it is. I mean, you look at this, you're like, yeah, that doesn't look exactly right. And I've told you where it came from, so you're like, yeah, I don't think you ought to really drink that. There's a lot of farm fields between here and there, you know? So we got to do something with this dirty water. What is dirty water? Well, lies, manipulation, and judgment. Jude 16 says, there are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. I'll tell you, manipulation, especially if you grew up with it, is hard to spot. It like becomes a part of you. If you're not careful, it just becomes a part of you and it comes out of you. And you, in order to get your way, are a malcontent. You show favoritism. Everything is stacked so you gain advantage. So you get your way. When you're communicating to get your way, I can tell you this, you are manipulating. And when someone is trying to get their way in front of you, they're manipulating. Right? Because that's not genuine love for the other person. You say, that's tough. We do a lot of that. Well, that's a lot of water that needs to be filtered. And as soon as somebody starts manipulating me, my natural gut response is what? Punch them in the nose, run, or manipulate and return in a more devious way. Right? I mean, that's our responses. And those aren't right responses. In Ephesians 4, it clearly says, stop. And it's talking to Christians, stop lying. Right? Put off falsehood. It's got to go because it's just filthy water. Put off slander, bitterness, covetousness. Many of those, it says, put off all corrupt communication. Sometimes in church, one of the corrupt things we often do is judgment. God is judge, not us. Boy, we can judge people and make assumptions about them, and words come out of our mouth that are off. And we show partiality, which comes out of judgment. And this is filthy water. Complaint and worry. It says in Philippians 2, do all things without grumbling or disputing, literally complaining, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish. You say, but it's really wrong what's in front of me. You ever be that way? Ever been there? I'm not complaining. I'm just setting the record straight. And I want to say, and where in James 3 did you come to that? Exactly. Or did you come to build with truth and love, as it says in Ephesians? It could use 80% of the same words, but if the heart is different, it is vastly different, isn't it? No complaining. No worry. Be anxious for nothing. That's really easy when everything's going the way you want. But boy, it is easy to choose to be anxious. And anxiousness comes out in our speech. What does it come out as? It comes out, I was going to say blasphemy because that's ultimately what it is, but it detracts from the God who is good and trustworthy when we're anxious. This passage, Ephesians 4:31, says, gossip, slander, anger, bitter, hateful, gone. Those things are all deadly, dirty, awful water. Idle words. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, but avoid irreverent babble. Okay, so just words that have no function. Some of you have this today. You have the word packer on your shirt. That is idle babble. You know? Especially on the weeks they play the Giants. You know? We could talk about some of that stuff, but really, for illustrative purposes, it gets away from being idle and all of a sudden it's helpful, isn't it? But boy, very much of that is just vain jangling, as the old text says, right? It's just worthless words. Why would we waste our life on volumes of worthless words? So how do we do this? Well, this stuff comes at us. Amen? I mean, any of those things this week come at you from other people? They do. And sometimes out of your own mouth, and then you're hearing yourself and agreeing with yourself, and you're multiplying the dirty water coming in you, right? I mean, we do that. So what do we need to do? Well, obviously, we need to filter before we drink. So kids, do you think I should drink the 10-mile creek water? Think I should? Some adult's nervous. Well, I'm going to drink it. But I'm going to filter it first. Don't you think? I'm going to get my iPad wet. Hang on. All right, I'm good. I need to filter this, don't I? I need to put it through some kind of process that makes it so it's safe. Oh, it may still have a little discolor to it. That just makes it exciting. Right? But it's safe. My wife's the only one that's ever gotten Giardia after using these. I don't know how she did that. She's very special. But I'm not nervous. What is in this jar? That looks like onion skins. We're good. I drink that water. No fear. No fear. It's been filtered. And some of you go, you don't understand where I live. Where I live, all that stuff coming at me. There is no way I can speak good stuff. I'm telling you what. This is a good filter. Fairly expensive. Does its job. I'm telling you what. The Word of God is not 99.9%. It is 100% perfect, wielded by the Spirit of God to change our mind, our heart, purify whatever is coming at you. And you say, but I have so much coming at me, it is going to consume most of my life to sort that. And you know what? You are right. Many of you who are in abusive, borderline, or maybe truly abusive type situations at work or in your homes, you are going to spend a ton of energy on this. And once you develop some disciplines, you'll be surprised how you can endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and the filtering goes faster, and you're better at it, and it won't consume as much of you. And I would tell you that this chapter, Ephesians 4 and Philippians 4, are almost entirely in the plural. So when you're in one of those situations, one of the things you need to do is you need to gravitate to the first group of people I was talking about. The people who just naturally are producing city water. You know what I mean? They're just naturally speaking the right things so that you are infused and helped and cleansed and ready to speak what's good, even though you live maybe in a very harsh situation. We need to filter. How do we filter? Ephesians 4 says it this way. Stop it! It's real simple, isn't it? Stop it! And he's saying it to Christians. And I do this. Sometimes I'm in counseling, I'm like, stop! And they're like, why'd you do that? What? I don't want to hear any more of that. That's filthy. That's filthy water. But they really... gossip. I'll say stop the first time. Second time, I start labeling. It's gossip. It's lies. It's slander. No. It's complaint. Stop. And so when we are authority, positions where we can do that, we need to do that. We say stop. When you're not in authority and you don't have control and you may not have platform to say anything, you know, like a kid in school is hearing nasty stuff from other kids, you may not be able to stop them always. You might even hear it from a teacher from time to time, and it's just going to come in. But what you have to do is in your brain, you have to say, stop. Label it as wrong and stop it, like no more dwelling on it. People come in all the time. You know what they said about me? I'm like, why would you rehearse that? That's not pure, lovely, good, worthy of praise. Why are you thinking on those things? Because I said them. And how is that helping you? Well, it makes me really mad. That's what I'm trying to say. It does not help. You say, but it's wrong. Yes, it is. And there is a God who will judge them. And you may have a role of rescue to them. But if you just let that turn in your head, instead of going, stop, stop. You say, well, I'm going to be saying stop to myself like all day. Good, go do it. Pretty soon your brain will just be stopped. You say, I'm not going to have anything to think about. Well, then go spend some time with friends who speak the good stuff and give praise and honor to God. Memorize a verse and quote it 100 times. Stop, quote, right? You got to stop. There's so many times people gossip to me about other people. And before I can say stop, The dirty laundry's out. And I look at him and I say, that was gossip. He said, but you need to know that. What am I going to do with that? Well, you should go fix them. I know this from you. I know it from a liar. I'm not lying, it's true. If you're willing to gossip, you're willing to break every law of speech. So I can't trust you. So don't come complain to me about somebody else. No way. Stop. Go do it God's way. Go and you and that person work this out. And if you can't work it out, I would love to be a part of your mess. I would love to. It's part of our God-given privilege as Christians to help each other with that. Speak truth. I'll come be a part of your mess, but you got to go be a part of it first and do it in a diligent way. Stop the wrong as soon as possible. Some people say, I can't help it. A couple words came out. That's better than 25. Stop it at one word. Stop it at the grunt. Now, don't just settle for stopping at the grunt. Get rid of the grunt, okay? Get rid of the disgust. Get rid of the rolling eyes, right? Because all that communicates. Some of these words are about communication. They're not just words. Words. You follow me? And so you got to get rid of that stuff. How do we do this? We need to be spirit, truth, guided people. I have to boil this down, no pun intended. But if you look with me at verse 13. Well, let me back up. So he gave apostles, verse 11, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So we have gifts to do this for each other. It says, until we attain to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He says, later on, he says, this is not the way you learned Christ, this corrupt communication. Is this the way Christ is? No. Is this the way Christ has spoken to you? No. He's been a person of grace. Amen. Like unbelievable grace. He says, then let that be your speech. Spirit-filled, taking the Word of God, and you need to have a God-focused filter. You need to say, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. That's back where we started, right? The filter is these right things that we're laying out, that we enjoy with people that are clean water. Gospel filter. I learned Christ. He's loved me this way. This is not how Christ speaks. Why would I speak in a way that does not fit with the gospel? It's got to go. If it doesn't pass the gospel filter, toss it. I have two more filters. Ephesians 4:29. The filter on the screen is a sand filter and has certain parts to it, and every layer has a key piece. Some of them take out the big foreign objects, and some of them take the really microscopic stuff out. And you got to have all the pieces, and filters are like that. So gospel filter, that's one layer. Another layer that I like to use is Ephesians 4:29 filter, which is speak the things that are good and necessary. As a parent, let me tell you, I got a list of good and necessary. I look at my kids, I see what's happening, I'm like, man, they need to know this. It would be good for them, and it is necessary. They won't fail without it. But then the last part of the filter is in that which produces grace in the hearer. Well, I'm not ready to say it in a way that would grace them. Or they're not in a spot where they can hear that. You say, but it's needed. Okay, there will be time. Wait. Maybe you have to build your child some to bring them to a place of grace where then they can hear what's necessary and good. So often we want to just correct the person. Sometimes we need to build them so we can correct them. You might want to come back tonight and begin the process of thinking some of this parenting, mentoring stuff and practically put it into place. Ephesians 4:29 filter, and then there's the Ephesians 4:8 filter. Many of you have used that for years, right? What am I supposed to think on? So this stuff comes in my head from other people. What am I supposed to think on? What is what? Pure, lovely, good, worthy of praise. There's more. He says, think on these things. You say, but this stuff's happening. Stop. Think on these things. What's cool is it's going to free your mind up to read scripture and do other things, because most of the stuff that comes at us from the world does not fit these categories, these filters. And so it's just like toss, toss, toss. And I might add this. Why put yourself where you have to filter? Some of you young people, you have friends, you want to be with them, but your friends speak tons of stuff that is not right. Well, you have to be in class with them maybe, but how much time are you going to spend with those people where you're constantly having to filter the way they are? It's not healthy. We need to reach people, but I tell you what, you really ought to team up on that so you have a brother or sister in Jesus and a parent that is helping you filter so that you don't get messed up. Because the last point of the sermon is you got to clean your filter. And that may sound funny, but I was in the Bonner Waters one time, and we were just a few days in. I think Grant Anderson was the one with me. And we happened into a lake that had heavy metals, and we didn't know it. And I pumped, this filter's good for like 200 quarts of water. And it was a brand new filter. I'm like, we're golden. And we even had a pre-filter thing on it. Like, this is going to be great. We're like 20 nail jeans in to this trip, and I can't even pump the thing. I broke the handle because, of course, something's wrong with it. Push harder, right? And I could not put water through that filter because it was done. And there comes a point where you have to clean the filter. Say, what are you using in the illustration? All this stuff comes in, we're filtering as it comes in, but sometimes we got to step back and say, has any of this landed down in my heart? Is it stuck down in there? And just look at our heart. And, you know, I said it this way. We must debrief ourselves with truth, with Christ's image. How have we learned Christ? Does this fit? And so many times when I start to look at the gospel and how I'm responding to people, I'm like, how did I get here again? I'm gnarly. I'm quick-tempered. I'm irritated. what is happening? And it's out of the things I've spoken and reinforced wrongly in my mind. It's the truth I haven't said to myself. Sometimes there's influence from without and hurts that have come that have not been fully dealt with. Or I've been filtering, but it was overwhelming and it's clogged. And I have to say, wait a minute, back up. Meet with the Spirit of God. And as the song started this morning, I need to clear the stage. And say, idol, gone. These words, these things I love, gone. And I need to debrief myself with Christ's image. I need to, as the passage says, put off the lies. I lie to myself and I don't even know it's a lie. And that's called deception. And it happens to all of us. And we just start saying, man, I've put up with enough. I've put up with enough. Where is that in the Bible? The Bible says, bear up under all things. And love does that with love. It says, in love, love bears up under all things and doesn't quit bearing up under all things. So how much bearing up am I supposed to do? Lots, right? The word is unending. But me, I lie to myself, said, man, I have put up with a lot for that person. So no, I'm going to square them up, right? And we try and make it spiritual, like I'm going to go and confront them and, you know, but really, I just tired of them being difficult. And that's where the filter is clogged. And let me tell you, the words are going to come out wrong. If you want more proof, ask my wife that this happens. It's true, isn't it? We need to prepare our mind. We need to renew our mind. We need copious amounts of time, quiet with Jesus, thinking right so that the filter is in an ongoing way cleansed. And I just say that with this at the very end, be so careful what you teach. Teachers who speak wrong are like heavy metal water lakes. Let me tell you. They clog filters in a hurry because people listen to a teacher and go, well, they're this. I mean, they're a teacher at Calvary doing ABF. I mean, this is good, right? And it almost, if we're not careful, unprotected moment. So I look at us as teachers and I say, whoa, careful. And when you speak in ABF from your chair as a godly person, careful what you teach, right? Guard our words. Lord, I trust some of these simple images would stay in our mind. I pray that we'd be people that know how to filter. So much stuff comes at us. Help us to simplify what we can that comes at us. And help us to speak truth to ourselves, to really hold on to your gospel gifts. And to be that and practice that around each other so that our speech would be worship, would be beautiful, sweet-smelling to you. Help us to do that in a loving, gentle way with each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here. And let's go be Olympic athletes on this, okay? Let's make it happen.